You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You're at a party at a Detroit art gallery. Police raid that gallery. They allege it didn't have the proper license for the event. And they seize and impound 44 vehicles parked outside that art gallery, including your car. It cost you nearly $1,000 to get your car back, even though you were not convicted of any crime. In fact, police waived the loitering ticket they gave you. That is one real-life example of what's happening under Michigan's civil forfeiture laws. People having property and money forfeited to police without ever being convicted of breaking the law or, in some cases, even charged with a crime. State lawmakers are now considering a bill that would tighten up our state's civil forfeiture laws. One of those testifying today in favor of House Bill 4158 is Jarrett Scorup with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, who is with us now.
Thanks for having me on.
What is the legal basis for police being able to seize people's property and money? I mean, how is this not a violation of the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable search and seizure?
So forfeiture makes sense in one sense, which is what ideally how it should work is you say, okay, we have people who are breaking the law and they've gained assets from that, say selling drugs and they've gained this money, and we've convicted them. And so what do we do with the assets? And so it's really the process of transferring it over to the state and using to recompensate victims or to investigate crimes, that type of thing. The issue is today in Michigan, you can do so without any criminal conviction or even allegation of a crime. And it's because the police are charging the asset of being involved in illegal activity rather than the person. So that's how you kind of get around those, what we normally think of as constitutional protection.
So the asset, that car, doesn't have the constitutional protection that I would have.
Correct. And it's allegedly guilty of something. And the issue is, since the police can seize that, which that's fine, they should be able to seize assets while they investigate, but they hold on to it. And the process in Michigan is the person who lost the asset has to challenge in order to get it back. For some of them, if you say, we know that last year, the average forfeiture was only $3,000 worth of vehicles and cash. So if you have a $3,000 car, which frankly isn't that nice of a car, probably like my 1995 Blazer that I drive, if the police take that, I'm not going to go spend thousands of dollars on an attorney to go get my vehicle back. So a lot of people, they just give it up. And that's what happens a lot in Michigan.
But isn't there a further repercussions, especially for low-income people?
Right. Until last year, you had to pay a 10% bond to even go on and challenge, to even start the process to get your assets back. And again, we're talking right now about most of the time in Michigan, this is done without a person being convicted. The most recent asset forfeiture report that we have from the state, there were more than 500 people last year that lost assets to the state without even being charged with anything. They weren't even alleged to have done something wrong.
How does Michigan compare with other states?
Our ranking is generally seen as very low. We did pass a couple reforms 2 years ago that raised the standard of evidence a little bit, made it establish some transparency requirements. But generally among states, Michigan is one of the easier states for law enforcement to seize and then keep assets from people. And we do a lot, typically $20 to $25 million a year.
Jared, give us a couple examples of the kinds of things happening to Michiganders because of our civil forfeiture laws.
Well, right now, up in Saginaw, there's been a case that's been ongoing for years, the Ostapo family. They had a son who was renting some property they owned and growing marijuana on the property. So they did convict the son of criminal charges, but law enforcement then went to their home, which was on a different location, and they seized a whole bunch of property, including a classic car that they put tens of thousands of miles on. The Daco family, which is in Fraser, Michigan, where law enforcement froze their bank assets. They ostensibly alleged that they'd been making deposits to avoid federal banking laws. They never charged them with a fine, but they seized and tried to transfer $35,000 from them. There's a lot of issues going on now, especially with the state's medical marijuana law, which is confusing, and people sometimes aren't totally in compliance with it or they don't know the rules. And so we're seeing an increasing number of cases like Dr. Wally Kowalski, who's out in West Michigan, who's had bank accounts frozen, tools and equipment taken from the home without being charged with a crime. So we're seeing an increasing number of those. Those are all just in the last couple of years. And again, you know, we just emphasize the point. If you think people have done something wrong, that's fine. Seize the property while you investigate. But unless you convict them of something, the state should not be able to take ownership.
And what are police doing with that money?
That's the other issue here in Michigan. 100% of the profits go back to the local law enforcement. They use it in a variety of ways. They can pay police officers. They can use it for investigations. They can use it to fight drug crimes. but it's really, for the most part, up to them. And so one of the problems with that is, as you've seen in some areas, in particular, police budgets decline, they've relied more heavily on asset forfeiture. And from our standpoint, you know, generally seen as a conservative group on the right, we want to support our police officers, but we shouldn't really provide an incentive to do something to forfeit property, at least unless you have a conviction. And that's what we're working on here today.
Then you're testifying before the House Judiciary Committee today on behalf of this latest bill, House Bill 4158, building in these protections. What would it do?
The bill would require law enforcement for any forfeiture under $50,000, which is the vast majority of them that happen in the state, that they would have to obtain a criminal conviction first. And that's what we support. In fact, the Mackinac Center has been working on this since the mid-1990s, and we've always supported requiring that type of conviction. We've teamed up with groups like the ACLU, just groups across the spectrum that maybe disagree on some other political issues, but on this one, we really care about protecting people, especially most of these being low-income people that just don't have the means or the ability to go back and try to fight for their forfeited property.
What are the politics here, Jared? Because I know that GOP Representative Peter Lucido introduced this bill over a year ago, February 2nd of last year. Why has it taken so long to actually get a hearing?
That is a great question. You're going to have to ask the Michigan radio staff that work on the legislative issues more than I do. You know, generally in states, this ends up being a very bipartisan issue, but that also means there tends to be bipartisan opposition. Most of the opposition is from law enforcement. You know, they might have good reasons for it. You know, it is making the job of prosecutors a little bit harder because they have to obtain that conviction. Some are more reliant on the funding, and so they're worried about that. You know, law enforcement is a pretty bipartisan support from people, and we're trying to get across, you know, we're not talking about trying to change the jobs of police officers who can go on, seize property, investigate crimes. We're talking about what is the standard you should have to obtain before you keep someone's property. And just like we can't lock people up without clear and convincing evidence or beyond a reasonable doubt of putting them in jail, we shouldn't be able to keep their property for the same reason.
What do we watch for going forward?
Well, it'll be interesting how the committee takes this up. We're going to see testimony from people who've been victims of this and testimony from groups that are kind of on the civil libertarian side of this and really worried about how we do this. And then there's going to be certainly a lot of law enforcement officers that are going to be out there explaining their side of it. So it'll be interesting how the committee accepts those and take those. But one of the things we know is that people overwhelmingly support requiring a conviction before the government can keep your property. And so we're hoping that message gets across.
Jarrett Skorup with the Mackinac Center, testifying today in Lansing before the House Judiciary Committee in support of House Bill 4158, which would build in more protection for citizens in this area of civil forfeiture. Jarrett, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.